Well, good Monday morning, everyone. It's the 13th of July, and my message today is titled, The Holy Spirit, Worship, and Transformation. Today, let's start with the bottom line and work our way up. Or, to put it another way, let's start at the finish line and work our way backwards. What is the ultimate goal of the Christian life? We are clearly told that in Romans 8, 29 and 30. Listen carefully. Quote, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." Now, don't freak out over that word predestined, okay? It's a real word. It's used 6 times in the New Testament, and it simply means to determine something ahead of time. This email you're reading or podcast you're listening to was predestined to happen because I determined yesterday that I was going to write it. Now, there's a big difference between me predestining something to happen and God. My determining to write something last night might not have happened because I might have died in my sleep. Our problem is we do not know exactly what's going to happen before it does. However, God's different in that. He knows all things, and oh, by the way, he's always known all things, and he will always know all things, and there's no chance God will die in his sleep, because he doesn't sleep, because he never sleeps, because he's God. So, if you want to believe that some things God has not predetermined, then we're just spinning through the centuries with random chance at the helm. Well, good luck with that. I'm not saying that God has predetermined everything, but he knows all things. But in this verse, we're told that we are saved because he predetermined that we would be saved. So bottom line is God has predetermined that you and I will be conformed to the image of his Son. He chose us before creation, and he predetermined that we would be saved through the faith and grace that he would give us as the gift of our salvation. So the ultimate goal of the Christian life is that we're all going to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are all going to be made perfect. We are all going to spend eternity with him and one another in heaven forever. Now let's look more closely at this passage, and we'll find that there are 5 stages to the Christian life. Stage 1, we were foreknown. That simply means that God knew us ahead of time. Stage 2, we were predestined before time. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 says that God chose us before the beginning of the world, and he adopted us. He predestined us to be adopted as his children. Stage 3, we're not only foreknown and were predestined, but we were also called. At some point in time, the Father drew you and me to Jesus, because Jesus said, "Nobody comes to me unless the Father draws him." And stage 4, we were justified. Through the gift of faith, God declared us not guilty forever, just as if we had never sinned, because of the death and resurrection of Christ. Stage 5 is we were glorified. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but it will be in heaven. And so it's a little strange that we were glorified is in the past tense and it hadn't happened yet. But let me explain why the word glorified here is in the past tense. Even though it hasn't happened, it is written in the past tense, which is a specific tool in Greek grammar of stressing that what is most definitely going to happen will, with absolute certainty, going to happen, and so the past tense is used instead of the future tense. The great news is that stages 1, 2, 3, and 4 have already happened. We're 80% there. Stage 5 happens when we die and go to heaven forever with no sin nature, no devil, and a freshly remade world with no evil in it whatsoever, and no viruses, and oh, by the way, no pollution. We're living in the right now of our lives. We cannot change our past. God has our eternal life in heaven, all secured. We have the guarantee of being sealed by His Spirit. We just need to deal with the time we have left and do so one day at a time. Now look at this other passage in 2 Corinthians 3, quote, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is?" And where is the Spirit of the Lord? Oh, that's right. He's inside our bodies. "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18. So where is the Spirit of the Lord? Right. He's inside our bodies. We have been sealed with the Spirit as our guarantee of the eternal life God has for us. We are signed, sealed, and to be delivered. Now, don't tell Amazon that, because they'll try to figure out a way to deliver us and make a dollar off of it. No, this is free shipping. He is in us to transform us. And this is why so many Christians do not realize or are not taking advantage of what we have been given. Have you gotten it figured out yet that you cannot change yourself in this area of sexual addiction? If not by now, you will eventually come to that conclusion by falling flat on your face over and over and over again as you try to recover in isolation. Now, very carefully, look at that verse again and answer this question. We are told that where the Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yet you are finding that you do not have freedom, but you're still enslaved to sexual sin. Then we read that we are being transformed, present active tense. Yet you do not see that transformation taking place. So what are we told we need to be doing for the transformation to take place? Well, it says, beholding the glory of the Lord. Perhaps, and this is only a suggestion, perhaps you're not being transformed because you're not beholding the glory of the Lord. And what, pray tell, is beholding the glory of the Lord if it is not worship? There is the transformation that happens by our renewing our mind, Romans 12, 2, which certainly involves the reading, memorizing, and meditating on God's Word. But what about the renewing or transformation of our hearts and the transformation of our desires so that we love the Lord more than we love sex and we begin to desire purity over some more hardcore porn? So today, imagine this. When you're being tempted to go and lust after people in porn, that you actually have a choice. And let's use the metaphor of smell. You can either pick a rose and smell the fragrance of the rose of Sharon, or you can smell a fresh, warm pile of dog poop. What's your choice? Or you can taste and see that the Lord is good, or you can taste, well, you get the picture. We've trained ourselves to think that porn and sexual sin is good because in the moment it feels so good and it helps us escape. However, in the end, it is worse than excrement. It is actually poison to you and all of your relationships. When will you begin to fast from the news of doom and gloom in our world today and begin to add worship to your daily activities that will help you be transformed? I'll go on this a little bit more tomorrow. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord. And we'll talk more tomorrow. Goodbye.